Please pray that the Lord might be magnified by the time that we spend together here. I'm very unsure as to what I ought to preach about tonight. That the Lord might give me a word in season for those who are weary. As we've been convicted by a sermon on repentance, so that we come to a conclusion, and no offense to the sermon or the preacher, but we come to a conclusion that we need to even repent for our repentance. But even that's not right. And it's almost like we've been drawn to Sinai to see our sins and ourselves and our failures and our faults. And that's good. That's Bible. Sometimes the best path to Calvary is through Sinai. My dad told me through the years that you'll never understand and appreciate grace unless you get depravity. But right now, I'm in the mood to look at Jesus Christ. And I want to share with you a word. Behold. As we look, we think of a word that means look. Stop and look. Look real close. Really examine. Behold Jesus Christ. The word behold appears in the scriptures hundreds of times, but there are seven times in particular that I want to talk about, that it's about Jesus. Now, to talk about seven things at this point in the evening, we're going to do a lot of squeezing.
Take your time.
You go ahead.
But that, I think, is where the Lord has led me, and I pray it's of Him. In mockery. A long time ago, a real scene, a terrible scene. God Almighty, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, stands before Pilate. He's been beaten, he's been whipped. He's been mocked. His face is marred like no other man. And this is God. He's probably scantily dressed, if dressed at all. God standing in shame, despising the shame, enduring it, and Pilate, in mockery, I believe, said, "Behold the man. Look at him. Look at him. Look at him. He's standing there taking that for you. You look at him." Drop down just a few verses in the book of John, and Pilate said, "Behold, your king to the Jews in mockery. They're looking for a king. There's your king. Pilate says, are you a king? Jesus said, for that purpose I came. Finally, Pilate said, what is truth? What a profound question. Pilate turns, behold your king. For that crime, it's not a crime, it's the truth. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For that crime, he was crucified. They hung it on the cross. They nailed that his offense to the cross. He's the King of the Jews. Behold your king. I was reading through that passage recently and read those two beholds, and that's what churned my mind to start looking. Let's look for him. Let's find other beholds in God's word that'll point me to Jesus Christ. Behold the man, that's mockery. Behold your king, a second mocking statement. You know what the Father said about him in Matthew chapter 12? God Almighty, he said, behold my servant. My servant. Now that's quite an unusual name, it would be, seem to me, to give to the King of Kings. And God the Father says, behold my servant. Look at him. Matthew chapter 12, verse 18, behold my servant whom I have chosen. Amen. He's my man, says God Almighty. He's the one I picked out. He's the only one that could do it. He's my servant, and he's gone down there to serve God Almighty. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved. Ah, it is baptism. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Look at him. On the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. And those other two guys are gone, reckon. You look at him, you listen to him. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Ah, the Spirit of God was upon him, and he healed the brokenhearted, preached the gospel to the poor, deliverance to the captives, spirit without measure on God. Sent by God, upon God comes God. I reckon that's a triple whammo, isn't it? Isn't God good? And God said, behold my servant. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. He'll answer not a word. He won't even defend himself. And he'll harm no one. A bruised reed he won't break. Somebody's nearly gone. Not much left of him. Smoking flax shall he not quench. Behold my servant. God Almighty, down here to serve God Almighty, to fulfill the Father's will, to take the children home. Behold my servant, he's doing a job for me, says God. He's the one I've sent. I chose him, I've sent him, and he'll fulfill what I've sent him to do. I'll bet he'll lose nothing of all that was given to him. Behold my servant. Is he a servant?
Yes, he is.
Oh, amen, he's a servant. Not only did he serve God, he comes into this world. He takes off that outer garment, pours water into a basin, drops down on his knees, God Almighty on his knees, crawling around in that dirt, washing sinners' feet. Peter, he comes to Peter, see, he said, not so, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. Peter wasn't being irreverent. He wasn't being blasphemous. He spoke when he should have stayed quiet again, but he meant well in those words. Those are words of reverence. This isn't right, God. It's not right for you to be doing this. It was right. He's a servant. Oh, and how he had served the day following when he hung on that cross for Peter. Oh, my goodness, he's a servant. He gave his life a ransom. He came not to be ministered unto, to be served, but to minister, to be the servant. Behold, my servant. And then Pilate in mockery says, behold the man. He'd come from that garden willingly. Nobody could have taken him. He gave his life. He had the power to do that. That's almost as amazing as resurrection, that God can die. I know I didn't say that right, but I don't know how to say it. It's almost as amazing that he can give his life as he can raise it up once it's gone. How did he lose it? He is life. Wow. What a situation, this crucifixion, resurrection. It's so big, we can't get our hands around it. We can't get our minds around it. We can't get our spiritual minds around it. He comes from that garden after saying, after asking, who you looking for? And they say, we seek Jesus. He said, I am he. And they fell down backwards. Who's in charge? He goes with them willing. It says they bound him. You think they could have bound him if he hadn't been willing? You think he was willing? He was willing. He went to the cross for you and me. Because he's a servant. He's God's servant. And he goes to the cross and in that journey stands in mockery before humanity, in shame and disgrace. And they say, after spitting on him, after putting a sack over his head and slapping him, say, now tell us, big boy, who hit you that time? You think he can't see through a sack? I hope he can see through ceilings and roofs, because I think he's watching us tonight from way off far. You reckon? I think he could see through a sack. I think he knew who hit him. And I think he just put up with that in his humility. He's the man, all right. He's the man. He's the man. He's our man. He's God's man. He's God-man. Behold the man. Behold your king. One day he's coming back. And on his vesture and on his thigh, it's going to say, King of kings and Lord of lords. I kind of think about a uniform. You know how in a uniform you got on your back and you got done running down the leg of those warm-ups, who you are? I'm the Dawson Springs Panthers. I wore that proudly a long time ago. And bless your hearts, I wasn't even worthy of that uniform. I couldn't play basketball much. But I wore the uniform. He's coming back with something better than that. On him, King of kings, Lord of lords, on his vesture, on his thigh, he's coming back, King. He didn't look much like King standing before Pilate. Pilate said, I'm the king. And they said, oh, we've only got Caesar as our king. They'll all know. And the whole world will know. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, he is the king. Behold your king. We'll do it one day in reverence, not mockery. Behold your king. John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Isn't that awesome? Look at him, says John. I've been looking for him. I knew he was coming. I was the one supposed to be pointing him out. And I wasn't sure about it some days, but there he is. Look at him. Behold the Lamb of God. You know who got prophesied in the Old Testament besides Jesus coming? John was the one that was coming too. That forerunner. Ah, he was looking for him. He was going to point to him. He was paving the road and making the path straight to this Jesus. And all of a sudden, there's that Jesus. Look at him. Later on in that same chapter, John will say, behold the Lamb. Go look at him. Ah, some of John's followers, you know everybody has their favorite preachers, and these guys been tagging along with John. They pretty much like John. Here comes some competition. He's preaching better than John, and people start to follow him. And did that bother John? Not at all. He said, oh, I knew he was coming. He must increase, I must decrease. I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. Isn't God good? Behold the Lamb. Look at him. The Lamb. You know what this book's about? This is a book about a lamb. You go back and start reading early on, you're going to get stories about a lamb. God's into lambs, I think. He's into one lamb I know. Way back in that Old Testament, old Abraham, he's bringing Isaac, and it's a long journey to that mountain. And he gets there, and they get up there, and Isaac's a big old boy. He's a grown man, quite honestly, I think. He's carrying a big load of wood, enough wood to burn up a human body. That's a pretty good-sized boy, isn't it? Well, this boy is going up that mountain with his daddy, and he looks around, and he says, you know, we got the knife. We got the fire. Where's the Lamb? Where's the Lamb and God Almighty? Might have said this, but Abraham said it that time. The Lord shall provide himself a lamb. Oh, it's a story of a lamb, the Passover lamb. All through that Old Testament, we got those stories of lambs. Hundreds of lambs. A lamb was supposed to be burning day and night, morning sacrifice, evening sacrifice, so that continually there was the smell of a lamb going into heaven. Oh, you think when King Jesus went on that cross, there wasn't a savor that went into heaven that was pleasing to God? It pleased the Lord to bruise him because he loved you so much. Wow. Behold the Lamb. Look at him. Oh, you start looking at Lamb and you go to Revelation and you're going to find in Revelation, if I didn't miscount, you're going to find 26 times where it talks about the Lamb with the capital L. There's other lambs in resurrection in Revelation, but the Lamb with the capital L's in there 26 times. He's that one that's on that throne. He was worthy to open the book, that Lamb of God. And he opened the book, the seals thereof. And then they started singing that new song. Don't you wish you knew the tune to it? And the rest of the verses. And whatever it is, I'd like to be able to sing it. And we will someday sing into that Lamb. And you know who it is coming back with King of Kings and Lord of Lords on his vest and on his thigh? That's the Lamb. It says the Lamb's coming back. Well, that's not like a lamb coming in to conquer. You don't know this Lamb. Behold the Lamb. He's coming back a conquering king. He looked like a meek, little, helpless, hopeless lamb. But he won't next time. He's the capital L lamb coming back, folks. The lamb will be a lion. Amen. The lamb's already a lion. We just hadn't seen it yet. Wow. Look at that lamb. Look at him. Behold the Lamb. Oh, there's an old song. It ought to still be in songbooks somewhere, but it's about to fizzle out. Behold, behold, the Lamb of God on the cross, on the cross. For you he shed his precious blood on the cross, on the cross. And the last of that verse, draw near and see your Savior die on the cross. Behold the Lamb. Look at him. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It's a bleak, dark day. What few friends he had stand far off. Even his father turns away. My God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? They take down that dead body and lay it in a borrowed tomb. And we have a picture there in Matthew of the women sitting against the sepulcher. That may be the saddest verse in the Bible. They're sitting against the grave, hopeless, broken, disappointed, confused. And early in the morning on the first day of the week, guess what? You don't have to guess, you know. Up from the grave, he arose. Who you looking for, said the angel. I know who you seeking. You seek Jesus. He is not here, for he is risen. That's resurrection. It's reality, but they weren't sure. They weren't sure. He comes, and he said, behold my hands. Behold my hands. Look at him. Look at those hands. If you don't believe just with your faith, go ahead and stick your finger in there. You can do that with faith too, I believe. Almost. You don't have to. He said to Thomas, when Thomas said, my Lord and my God, he said, blessed art thou, Thomas. Oh, but what about those who haven't seen and believe? That's you and me, my friends. Behold his hands. Look at him. He came back to Thomas and said, behold my hands and my feet. Right. Oh, they believed not for joy, but it was real. Yeah. And they began to catch on as the days came by, and they were a new crew. They'd seen resurrection. Behold my hands. Way back in Isaiah chapter 40, where it's prophesied that John would come. And says, what shall I say? And the Spirit said, cry. Tell them that all flesh is grass. and that men are grass and they'll wither and die, and tell them that bleak story of humanity fallen in sin, but then you could tell them that the Word's going to stand forever. That's Jesus that's coming. And then all of a sudden in that picture of Jesus coming, it says to Zion, to the church. Says, you go tell them about him, and when you tell them about him, you tell them this way. You say, behold your God. Look at him. He's your God. He's dead but resurrected. He lives forever. He's your God. Behold your God. I like that one. That's my job. That's your job. As followers' job is to point people, tell them, behold your God. He's real. Behold my servant. Behold the man. Behold your King. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold my hands. Behold your God, says the church. There's one behold yet to happen. When it's all said and done, and the kingdom goes back to the Father, that Lamb of God, that man King, Jesus Christ, will stand before God Almighty and all of his children, and he will say, behold, I. Look at me. Behold, ah, that's the first one. You look at me. Look at me. Look at me, Father. I did it. There was no doubt, but Jesus gets his recognition. Behold, ah. And you've read the book. Don't take my light away from me, brother. Behold, ah, and. Oh, I believe it's all of them. What do you think? Behold, I and the children, thy children that thou gave me, thy children that thou gave me. They've always been yours. You gave them to me, and I'm giving them back redeemed. Oh, isn't God good? Behold the Lamb. Behold, I and the children, thy children that thou gave me. Long time ago, they're God's people. The angel said, you call him Jesus, he's going to save his people because they were given to him. Then lo and behold, in the end, he gives them back. And God is good. Keep on repenting, but remember the Lamb. God bless you. Amen.